in eastern Kentucky. It was really important for people to know who your people were. They wanted to know who all your relations were, and that way they knew whether you belonged or not. That name and those relationships were so important, I was amazed that they ran political campaigns on who the relatives were. You'd pick up the newspaper and the whole ad campaign was son of so-and-so, nephew of so-and-so, brother of so-and-so, and it would go on that long in the newspaper to establish his credentials. He belonged in eastern Kentucky. His roots were deep. And that, of course, meant he was qualified for the job, whatever it might have been. So there is this thing about belonging. And yet, even in the Midwest, where I have lived most of my life, there was still that same sort of sense of, who are you related to? And if you somehow were related to somebody nearby, it sure made your path a lot easier. And I don't know how many times I sat through these long conversations of who was related to whom, by whom, how, and all this other sort of thing that was so important to these people. To whom are you related? Who are your people? And heaven help you if you came from the East. You'd never fit in there. You were just of a different culture. That was it. So anyway, this whole idea of belonging was important. And in these churches where I was, there were like four generations of the same family in the congregation. I never had four generations of my family living in the same state, or sometimes even the same country. So as I moved around from place to place, it was always, who are your people? And mine didn't live there. And so I never really belonged in the way that these people in the Midwest thought about it. And that was true in the church. There was this sense of we're a very close-knit family, because really we are. We really are family, you know. And so I was most at home in those city churches where there were many, many members, many of whom had moved around as much as I had, if not more. And the few locals were the minority in the congregation. So they really couldn't lord it over us that did not belong in that particular community. And so those of us who gathered together in those congregations belonged because we shared the same faith, we shared the same Lord, we shared the same desire to love and serve that very same Lord. And in the reading from last week in Romans, I think it's very appropriate for today, so I'm going to remind us of it. I can't see it today. My eyes are not focusing. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not fall into the spirit of slavery, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. On the morning when we baptize, is probably the most important message that we'll ever find in the Bible. We are, each and every one of us, children of God. And that's where we belong. And who God chooses to be a part of God's family makes absolutely no sense. God chooses before, well, maybe even while it's still an embryo. I don't know. God chooses before there's any consciousness of life. God chooses before a child, an embryo, or anybody can go, oh yeah, I know you, God, and I can try to please you. No. God chooses as God chooses. And if we look at today's story from Jacob, we're reminded of Jacob being such a crazy, messed up man, and God kept pursuing this idiot. He was fighting his brother even in the womb. Those of you who have been pregnant, imagine all those legs and elbows knocking around in there. So he was a problem child before he was ever born. And he was trying to run away from his whole life, and God still pursued him. And in today's reading, we might say, oh yeah, what goes around comes around. You finally got yours. Because Laban cheated him out of his first choice wife and gave him Leah instead. There's a temptation to say, no, 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 that serves you right. Except as we read the story, we realize poor Leah is a victim here. And what happens in this story is about Laban getting what Laban wants. Yeah, he worked for 14 years. But Laban still got what Laban wanted, irregardless of what poor Leah felt in this whole situation. And yet, God is still faithful to Jacob. It reminds me of when you walk through the woods, you that have hiked know this phenomenon. They're called sticktites. They're these long, little, stringy things, about half moons, that are stuck together. They're little green, sticky things. And when you come out of the tall grass or out of the woods, they're stuck on your socks. They're stuck on your pants. They're stuck on your sweater. They're stuck in your hair. They're stuck everywhere. And you start trying to peel them off, and you think you have them all off, and then you find another one under your arm somewhere or on your back. You go inside, and somebody says, oh, you have one of those things stuck here. Stick tight. You can't get rid of them. And you know what? We can't get rid of God either. Because God is faithful to his or her adopted children. God is that parent that no matter what we do, goes on loving. And if we are adopted, then God's adoption papers take priority over even the parental rights of birth parents or other adoptive parents. God is the parent of all. And Ogden and Marcelo and all of these other wonderful children who have been baptized could grow up to be bratty kids. They will certainly try their parents' patience at least once or twice in their lifetimes. And these parents will go right on loving them, no matter what. And all of you who are parents know that experience. You go on loving them, no matter what. And if we, fallible, weak human beings, will keep loving these messed up kids, no matter what, then what in the world is God capable of? God is capable of phenomenal love that we cannot even conceive. And if being adopted isn't enough for us, Paul goes on to write, we know all things work together for good for those who love God. God will be with us. And what can separate us from the love of God? And Paul goes on at great length to say, not life. Well, of course not life. How can life? Well, just think about all of the complications of our lives and when we were tempted to turn away from God, just like Jacob. But all those things that pile up and make us want to say, okay, God, forget it. God is still going to be there. Even when we try to erect barriers and say, I've had it, God, I don't want any more of this. Not death. As people walk or live their way towards the end of their lives, some of them even seem to get closer to God during that time. And they know a great, wonderful peace because they know that nothing will separate them from the love of God, not even death. Neither life nor death, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present nor not even things to come, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we each, as we witness a baptism, are reminded of our own baptisms. We are each reminded, whether we've been baptized or not, that God has chosen to adopt us as God's children. And we can each say with confidence, I am God's child. I am beloved. And God will stick tight, no matter what. Let us pray. God, thank you that we cannot get rid of you, that you will hold tight to us and love us no matter what, and always call us beloved child of God. Amen.